Hello everybody, here I am. This is Georgium Island and behind me is Folly Bridge in Oxford. And it's from this bridge on Sunday, the 4th of July, 1862, that Alice Liddell and Charles Lutwidge Dodgson, better known as Lewis Carroll, set off in a boat up to Port Meadow, about 3 miles north of here, to go for a picnic. They were accompanied by Alice's two sisters, which is seldom mentioned, and by the Reverend Robinson Duckworth. So Lewis Carroll, that to use his nom de plume, he was a mathematics don at Christchurch, one of the colleges of Oxford. In those days, most Oxford dons were required to be Church of England priests, which he was, and they were not allowed to marry unless they're head of the college. If they wished to marry, that was fine, that was good, they did with the blessing of the college, but they had to leave and become a parish priest, and each college had controlled many parishes around the country that they could take over. There's a big house to go with it that his wife and children would soon fill. Anyway, so they went rowing. The Reverend Robinson Duckworth did the rowing. Lewis Carroll was apparently not much good as an oarsman. Little Alice, then 10 years of age, said, "Tell me a story." So Lewis Carroll made one up extemporaneously. And he invented this Alice in Wonderland. It was a golden afternoon, he says. Although some meteorologists claim actually it was cool and fairly cloudy for the time of year. And Alice said that was such a magnificent story that he ought to write it down. So when he got home, he did just that. But he reworked it a few times over the coming few weeks. And so Alice in Wonderland was born, and indeed Alice Underground. So the Reverend Robinson Duckworth was written up as a duck. The Mad Hatter was based on a notoriously eccentric furniture salesman who had his shop on the High Street in Oxford. And he's buried at Holywell Cemetery, or is it St. Cross Cemetery on Holywell Street in Oxford. And the Queen of Hearts and Off With Their Head and the White Rabbit all comes there. So it was a publishing sensation. It was a real breakthrough in children's literature and fairy tales. Up until then, fairy tales have been somewhat formulaic. Things like dwarves, elves, enchanted forests and castles, and seventh sons of seventh sons, wizards, witches, fairies, and such like. But this was very groundbreaking in its zaniness, in its innovation. And it was a publishing sensation here and in the United States. Remember, the Anglosphere was far, far smaller in those days. Even someone like India, very, very few people spoke English in those days. It's not till the late 20th century that a large minority of Indians spoke English. And so Australia had a tiny population and so on. So remember, the whole of Ireland was part of the United Kingdom at the time. So the English-speaking world was in the tens of millions in those days. But it was a real hit in the USA. So, but the United States didn't recognise British copyright, so Lewis Carroll didn't make any money out of that. The only way to make money for a British author in the United States was to go there and do readings and sell copies, signed copies, something Charles Dickens used to do, who of course was alive at the time. So Queen Victoria read it and said that it was a really fantastic novel, and then she said to Lewis Carroll, "You really must send me your next book," which he did, though his next tome was one of the most abstruse areas of higher mathematics. Of course, the Queen would have said, "We are not amused." Apparently, she never said, "We are not amused." She used to say, "I'm very much amused," in her diary. So I would suspect the stream of old Father Thames was not flowing quite so fast at the time that this was written. Anyway, so Lewis Carroll, he moved away, and he was a priest of a church in Guildford, where he died and indeed is buried. He never wed, but he had a rather unedifying and unusual hobby, which is photographing children in a state of undress, or I should say boys, actually. So he never evinced the least attraction to women. He said the female body of any age was totally uninteresting to him. But he would photograph these boys with the permission and often in the presence of their parents. You might think that is staggering that he did that. But anyway, no one's ever suggested that he did anything criminal to a child. But these days we'd look at this as very untoward. And after his death, his family destroyed a lot of his photographic collection, saying this might be harmful to his posthumous reputation. So he had some sort of falling out with the Liddells afterwards, and it's really unclear why. Alice, she was one of 10 children. Her father, Henry Liddell, was the Dean of Christchurch and the head of that college. Later on, Prince Leopold was here, Queen Victoria's youngest son went to Oxford. So that was the first generation since Henry V to attend university of the royal family, although it was dubious whether Henry V attended university at all. There's a tradition he went to Queen's College for just a few months when he's about 13, but some historians say, well, there's no record of that. That was made up generations later, despite a window in Queen's College Chapel attesting to his attendance there. So Leopold came for a year or two without any intention of taking a degree, using it as a finishing school. And there were upper-class boys who used to do that at Oxford well into the 20th century, not sit any exams and just leave and go home and run the family estate or be slotted into the family firm or something. But there's a tradition that that Leopold had some dalliance with Alice Liddell. But again, that's disputed. It's an apocryphal tale. And that Queen Victoria wouldn't have him marrying the daughter of someone even as exalted as the Dean of Christchurch, Oxford's finest college. He had to marry a princess, and he duly did marry a German princess. Of course, he's mostly ethnically German himself. And Alice Liddell, she went on to marry a very affluent cricketer, a Mr. Hargreaves, and have three sons with him. But the story isn't that happy in the end. So although Alice named one of her sons Leopold, and Prince Leopold named his eldest daughter, well, his only daughter, Alice, Prince Leopold died aged 30, who was a haemophiliac, that's why, whereas Alice, two of her sons were killed in the First World War, but she herself lived to the age of 82, which is a very great age at the time. So that's another famous Oxford story, written by a perhaps rather unlikely person. But Lewis Carroll, he penned a poem about that trip on the river. It's an acrostic poem, as in if you read the initial letter of each line, it spells Alice Pleasance Liddell. That's her full name. And so it's called Boat Beneath a Summer Sky. And so it goes on about, was it steady oar and willing ear and whatever, willing eye, things like that. So I must acclaim it for you sometime. So that is the story of how it was written and when it was written. And it was so popular in the United States, I suppose partly because they needed cheering up, they needed morale boosted, because of course it's the midst of the American Civil War. But a very easy day to remember when it was written, 4th of July. I don't think there's any significance to that, because of course the American Independence Day is not something that people jubilate in the United Kingdom for reasons which probably don't need any explanation. Dean Liddell, he was very distinguished even before he came here, being headmaster of Westminster School, which is one of the United Kingdom's foremost schools, perhaps its most academic school of all. Oh yeah, here we are, Christchurch and all this. You can see their coat of arms. The red rose, those two birds, what are they? The four blue lion's heads, the one red lion rampant, and so on. Okay, so this is Christchurch Meadow here. And so all that land up there between here and the college belongs to Christchurch. It's always known as Christchurch, never as Christchurch College. Written as two separate words, not as in Christchurch, New Zealand, or is it Christchurch, Dorset is the town here. Right, so everybody, thank you so much for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe to me on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. All right, goodbye everybody, toodaloo.